The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Canceling the cancel culture. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us. Finally a Friday here on the Morning Answer. We've got that Friday attitude. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I am Grant Stinchfield.
And gosh, it seems that crime always dominating the headlines in Los Angeles, in San Francisco. They just got rid of and recalled their liberal district attorney. And they have a brand new one in place. Brooke Jenkins is her name, and she's making some big policy changes. In fact, she said that she is going to be holding accountable more drug dealers, because right now fentanyl and other drugs are really taking over in the city of San Francisco. On Wednesday of this week, Brooke Jenkins announced that her office would continue their crackdown on drugs in the city by moving more cases to regular courts away from the Chesa Boudin Community Justice Courts. And she said she's going to return harsher sentencing against drug dealers. She's only been in office for less than a month, but this is a pretty big step, probably in the right direction for San Francisco. And for the record, Chesa Boudin, who said he might run again, said, I'm not going to run again in the fall. I've got family issues to attend to.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
I wonder if your family's mad at you for turning your back on the city of San Francisco.
Maybe.
I wonder if your family's mad at you for literally enabling killers to roam the streets. I wonder if your family's mad at you for putting police in danger as well as the citizens they're sworn to protect. You know, I'm glad that this woman is actually following up on what she promised to do, and she's doing what the voters wanted her to do,
mm-hmm.
which is just simply crack down on crime, just simply enforce the law. I mean, you know, what is tough on crime, right? We always talk about this phrase, tough on crime. Let's get tough on crime. Well, I don't think there's any such thing as tough on crime. I think you either enforce the law or you don't.
Yep.
And then, so what is enforcing the law is, quote, tough on crime? I mean, if you enforce the law, you're just enforcing the law. That's not tough on crime.
Doing your job.
You're doing your job. So what is tough on crime?
I think just doing your job. This is what's so annoying about these DAs, and George Gascon in Los Angeles is on that list, is that they think they can pick and choose which laws they want to apply or not apply. And it's not up to them. They are not in charge of creating the law. They are in charge of applying and enforcing the law. And that's what they don't seem to get, or they do. And they just want to take down our country. They want to create the chaos that a rising crime rate does. What was interesting about Chesa Boudin in his tweet, when he said he wasn't going to run again, he mentioned his son, because I guess his son is getting ready to walk and is speaking his first word, and his wife is working at UCSF and he wants to support her. But he also talked about his dad, David Gilbert, who just came home from prison after 40 years. Don't forget that Chesa Boudin's dad was a far-left activist who participated in the robbery of the Brinks armored vehicle, who was a member of Weather Underground, and who just got out of jail after sitting in there for 40 years.
So he just got out.
Yeah.
And now he's dealing with some family issues.
Yeah. And remember, Chesa Boudin was raised in part by Bill Ayers, who was leading Weather Underground.
Yeah, that's Barack Obama's mentor.
Yep.
Really labeled a terrorist by many.
And there's daddy, right? His little, there's his dad. So
and don't forget his mom was involved in that too, right?
Sure was.
It was like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. And, you know, this is the background of a man who was supposed to be prosecuting crimes. And
yeah.
So you literally, not to overuse the phrase, but you literally had a wolf in the hen house.
855-785-8255. We asked you earlier what the number one issue is for you facing you for the next election. What do you want your next elected official to do? Is it crime? Is it inflation? Is it fixing the cost of living? We also talked about Michael Moore, the chief of police for LAPD. Don't have much to say about Michael Moore. He stays really kind of to himself. Stan in Venice, however, you had a few comments about Michael Moore. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Stan. I do, actually, because I think that Michael Moore is a direct representative of what Mayor Garcetti represents,
sure.
Which is high politics, and it's not law enforcement. Now, the guy came back with a bounce back after his retiring. with a, I think it was in excess of a million and a quarter, on top of a $350,000 new salary. So, okay, we're talking a lot of money, but let's talk about the effect. He came to Venice to push this political homeless industrial complex bridge house. He brought several dozens of new uniformed commanders and introduced us, a big to-do with Garcetti himself at Westminster School. Well, this sort of initiated the Recall Bonin movement a couple of years later, because what he did deliver was a death, plague, stank, open crack smoking, high crime, high violent crime horror that ruined another neighborhood in Venice, California. It was pretty cynical. Now, he had personal notice of crime coming from the lease partner service providers at the Bridge House and St. Joseph's Homeless Center. And people have to understand that these aren't charities. These nonprofits have CEOs getting $400,000 a year as lease partners, like Felicia Adams Kellum. And a few blocks away, there's Horizon Apartments LLC, the most serially violent single address in Venice. It's the perfect microcosm of Section 8 housing fraud. Mm-hmm. Now, with politics, Chief Moore has actually helped to destroy our police force. Why do you think Sheriff Alex had to come to Venice? And now us residents, and thank you very much for giving us a voice. I'm sorry I'm shaking. I'm 71 years old.
You're doing great.
Thank you, ma'am, very much, because I'm targeted by these people for talking about this. You know, I'm a retaliatory eviction. I'm homeless 3 years. I'm a 71-year-old non-criminal. That's how much they care about outreach and homelessness here. Yet there's a non-profit industry, non-profit
career. Sir, are you homeless now?
Yes, sir. I have been for 3 years. And, in fact, you know, I've had a career as director of publicity of Rhino Records, a motion picture studio Grip. I have 600,000 views on two songs on Stan Becker songs with my characters concerned about this.
All right, Stan, let me ask you. This is fascinating to me.
I hope so. I hope we can unpack this intelligently.
Well, why are you homeless?
Because Drug House Becky Dennison, an activist from Minnesota, a Snow White splain, hard left activist, one of the white BLM LA suburban girls who think that mobocracy rioting is progressive and that certain demographics of Americans.
All right, this is not explaining to me why you're homeless, though. Why don't you have a job?
I'm 71 years old. I'm a retired motion picture studio grip. I'm a retired, extremely accomplished local, including a lot of community
service. Does your union help you?
I received a retaliatory eviction by Steve Clare, Jack Hoffman, the actual people who...
All right, well, I don't want to go through name and names without actually knowing all the stuff and getting into it. So I was trying to get to just an easier question, and now we're up on a break, and we're not going to be able to get to it. But I appreciate your phone call. Calling in and thank you very, very much. Good luck to you, and
yeah,
I hope you get back on your feet.
Definitely, for sure.
Jen, so you see, this literally is a good example of no one wants to take responsibility for their own position in life. Okay,
well, it's much easier.
I'm sure he's had things go on in his life, but literally one question, he couldn't take responsibility for anything. There, it was always somebody else's fault.
Yeah,
much easier
to blame other people, right?
Yeah, it's
855-785-8255. That number one issue that you want to see tackled by politicians in the upcoming election, 855-785-8255. As we continue, Ted Cruz opening fire, scorching the FBI director in testimony all about January 6th and the border as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Well, I worked in a tackle store in Van Nuys.
And that's why you tackled him.
No, I did not tackle him.
It was a joke, Dick, because you work at a fishing store.
Yeah.
This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us Friday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And yesterday, there was a hearing in the Senate featuring FBI Director Christopher Wray. And a lot of topics on the table. We learned some about the border, but we also learned a lot about how the FBI is operating and whether or not it's become politically motivated. I think all of us think to some extent, Grant, or at least most of us think, that there are politics at play, certainly within the FBI. And Senator Ted Cruz had at it with Christopher Wray, asking why patriotic Americans are being targeted by this organization. Take a listen.
Yesterday, it was reported that Project Veritas had obtained a copy of an FBI training material, which listed various symbols and themes, which in the FBI's estimation were indicative of, quote, militia violent extremism. Now, these symbols weren't things like the Ku Klux Klan or the Nazi Party, which naturally would be symbols of that. But instead, they included, rather astonishingly, patriotic symbols of our nation and our history. Included on this list is the Betsy Ross flag. Now, that's fairly remarkable that the Betsy Ross flag in the FBI's indication is indicative of militia violent extremism, because among other people who have been publicly alongside the Betsy Ross flag, we have President Barack Obama, who was sworn in directly underneath two Betsy Ross flags. But it's not just President Obama. We also have President Biden, who was sworn in under Betsy Ross flags. It's not just the Betsy Ross flag. Also on this list is the Gadsden flag as a symbol of violent extremism. Now, the state of Virginia has a license plate for the Gadsden flag, as do many other states. I think people would be astonished to find that having that license plate, the FBI indicates that you're a violent extremist. Also included on this is a text that I was particularly struck, is the Gonzales battle flag. Come and take it. As indicative of being a violent extremist militia. Well, I will self-report right now that every day in the Senate I wear my boots that have the Gonzales battle flag on the back of them. Director Wray, what are y'all doing? This makes no sense. Do you agree with this FBI guidance that the Betsy Ross flag and the Gadsden flag and the Gonzales battle flag are signs of militia violent extremism?
Well, Senator, I'm not familiar with the particular document you have behind you, and I'm not in the practice of trying to comment on documents that I haven't recognized, but I will tell you that when we put out intelligence products, including ones that reference symbols, which we do across a wide variety of contexts, we usually take great pains to put caveats and warnings in the document that make clear that a symbol alone is not considered evidence of violent extremism, and it's...
Well, but Director Wray, you don't include things like Antifa, you don't include things like Black Lives Matter. Instead, you identify patriotic Americans as suspects. And I would note there's a pattern of this.
Think about this, Jen. Mm-hmm. They don't include the Antifa flag.
Nope.
But they include the Gadsden flag, which is the snake, right? Mm-hmm. Don't tread on me. That was in the open to my Newsmax show, Stinchfield.
Then you must be a target of the FBI.
I must be a target. Now, like Ted Cruz, also who calls Texas home, okay? Mm-hmm. Like Ted Cruz, I have the Gonzales battle flag on a pair of my cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. On one side, the left side, it says come and take it with the cannon. And on the other side, it says Trump won on the other boot.
Right.
Okay? Now, am I a domestic extremist? I actually had this conversation with somebody yesterday. She ran for city council in New York. Her name's Jackie Toberoff. She ran as a, quote, Republican, and she says, I'm a moderate. I said, Jackie, you are not a moderate. She says, I believe in common sense things. I said, yes, in the eyes of the left, believing in common sense things makes you a right-wing extremist. I said, if believing in the Constitution makes me a right-wing extremist, then so be it. If wearing a battle flag that says come and take it as a symbol of saying you are not getting my guns because the Constitution of the United States of America says you don't get to take my guns, Mr. Uncle Sam government.
Yeah.
Then I'm a right-wing extremist. And so this is what the government has labeled us. And so be it. I don't care what they call us, but call the other side extremists too, because they're engaging in a lot more violence and damage to America than Tea Party patriots ever have.
It's not the name so much. It's the power of the investigation. The FBI, when they want to come after you, and if they can use it for the reason like, well, Grant's wearing cowboy boots with that, you know, that had the Gonzalez flag or something on it. I mean, we're going to go after him. We're going to investigate every aspect of his life because he has this symbol that we think is a problem. That's dangerous. Call me a right-wing wacko if you want to. I don't care what you call me. But if you bring the government after me, the full power of the United States government after people with these symbols, and you're not doing it and representing it in a fair manner, that's a problem. That is the unequal tiers of the justice system that so many of us are doubting right now. And when you start to doubt it, we've got big problems in this country.
Yeah. And so what upsets me the most, I think, is that the government that's supposed to be buying for the people, should be equal, and it should be free of politics when you talk about law enforcement or the FBI or rooting out extremism in America. Extremism is not good. I will agree that under the real definition of extremism, it's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But right now where I see the most extremism, to me, is coming from the left, not the right.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable that they can even make the case that flags that are being used as a license plate in Virginia are on the watch list for the FBI, but that the Antifa flag is not. It is just insane. Senator Kennedy, who I know we like on this program, Grant, because he's a funny guy, but he also is a smart guy. He read Christopher Wray several tweets from Timothy Thibault, who is the former Washington Field Office Assistant Special Agent in charge, where this guy is actually on social media going after Republicans. And he submitted for the record several of these quotes, including one of him going after Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney, writing in a picture of Dick Cheney, "Your dad was a disgrace." Now, if you're an FBI agent, and I don't care what we think of Dick Cheney or Liz Cheney, might be best to stay off writing your personal insults at political figures, wouldn't you think? I mean, obviously, now this is proof that you've got read into the record, the Senate Judiciary Committee, that this agent is writing political commentary on Facebook. Give me a break.
You know, look, I'm a firm believer that just because you're in law enforcement or media or anything, it doesn't mean that you lose your right to have an opinion. But you at least have to offer up the perception of being unbiased if you are in a profession that demands that you be unbiased.
Yeah. He was retweeting stuff from the Lincoln Project about Trump being psychologically broken, embittered, a deeply unhappy man. He did a lot of things, like talking about Michael Flynn on social media and others. William Barr has gone rogue. That's also one of his comments. 855-785-8255. As we continue, well, the Biden basement briefing jam-packed with a big announcement from the president himself. We'll have the details for you after we check the roads and your headlines with our newsman, Larry Marino, as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
Breaking news and expert commentary. This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us Friday here on the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And every day, if you're new to the program, 7:36, that brings us to the Biden Basement Briefing.
This is the daily Biden Basement Briefing. Come on.
We have fewer democracies in the world today than we did 15 years ago. Fewer.
Come on, man.
Not more. Fewer.
Come on.
Fewer.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Well, in the Biden Basement Briefing, a big announcement from the administration yesterday. They have declared the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency. And, you know, I'm no fan of the monkeypox. I don't want them. They're pretty ugly. In fact, when I see someone with monkeypox.
Danger. Danger.
But I don't know. Is it at the point where we need a public health emergency?
Guess what?
What?
I met somebody last night.
Who had the monkeypox?
Who knew someone who had monkeypox.
What? Oh, my gosh. Now we're getting into, you knew the friend of the friend who worked in the hospital and Richard Gearwonton, you know that
Not guy. Well, close. Okay. Not only did they have monkeypox once.
Come on.
But they had monkeypox twice.
Oh, no. A monkeypox squared?
Monkeypox squared. This individual from New York City. Okay.
Okay. New York City.
had monkeypox twice and, go figure, gay.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's part of the spreading in the gay community.
Yeah.
So not, why are you looking like you're upset that I said that?
Oh, but, no, I'm not. Look, it seems to be pretty consistent, right? That it's affecting the gay community. I thought you were going to give me some, like, you know, I don't know. Never walked out of his house and got monkeypox twice.
No. Gay and engages in... I'm not going down that road. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say reckless sexual behavior is what I was told about this man.
We need a doctor, please. A doctor, please. Do we have a doctor? Doctor in the house, please.
Do you know how we said on this program that when you make bad decisions, bad things happen? Engaging in reckless sexual behavior, bad things can happen.
Like
including getting monkeypox.
Twice.
Especially if you are a member of the gay community.
Gosh, they're not pretty. The one thing about the monkeypox, a couple of things. I know I don't want the monkeypox. Don't want them. I also know I don't want to be forced into a vaccine for the monkeypox. And I also
person,
know that the monkeypox are pretty ugly.
I asked this person who knew the person.
Mm-hmm.
I said, did you see the sores?
She said,
no, because once he told me I had the monkeypox.
Yeah, you're not hanging out and having tea.
I didn't go anywhere near him. I said, you understand that monkeypox is not spread through the air. It is not an airborne virus.
Not taking chances.
That's what she said. She said, I want him breathing on me. I don't want him anywhere near me.
Wow. Yeah. See, I burned myself when I was roasting vegetables in Mexico. I had a blister and I was embarrassed by the blister. I can't imagine. I would be apoplectic and in hiding if I had the monkeypox. Well,
all right. Guess what else I was told?
Oh, you have more? Tell me.
Well, this just goes to show your reckless behavior and why this gets back to my checks and balances theory.
Okay.
This gay person who has monkeypox also has the AIDS virus.
Oh, well, that's okay? Sad.
Very sad. But apparently it's well managed.
Right.
And apparently
not
in the gay community,
not the death sentence it used to be.
Apparently, and if we have any members of the Morning Answer crew,
mm-hmm.
not our crew here at the station, but certainly they can weigh in. We no judging here on this program. Anybody out there listening, I'm curious in this. So I was told that in New York City, they don't use condoms. Even when you have AIDS,
why
they don't use condoms.
This? Why do you go
there's
this
a certain
far?
Drug. There's a drug you could take that blocks it or something. And so they engage in this reckless behavior. And well, you're wondering why monkeypox spreads.
Yeah.
This is the reason. Okay. This is the reason why it spreads. You engage in reckless behavior. You're speechless?
I'm speechless. Monkeypox twice is kind of where I just left it behind. All right, so
855-785-8255.
I'm sure the phone lines are going to light up. We'll just wait. Hold on, let's see. Answer Grant's question. We'll wait.
So I actually wish, I said, they don't use condoms.
Oh, no. Wait.
And she
why
said
why are
me,
you still continuing?
She said to me, this is the line. What do you live in the 1940s?
Oh boy! Okay.
Is there a line? I was like, what? I guess I do.
Well, let's get back to the monkeypox. And yesterday at the White House, the Biden administration declared it an outbreak and a public health emergency. And of course, Joe Biden's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Javier Baccarilla, made the announcement.
The Secretary of Health and Education Services, I nominate Javier Baccarilla.
Or, as we know him here.
Javier Becerra, excuse me.
No, still wrong. Let's try it again, Mr. President.
For Secretary of Health and Education Services, I nominate Javier Baccarilla. Javier Becerra, excuse me.
I don't even know how to say this guy's name anymore because it's been so screwed up. But here in California, we used to know him as Javier Becerra, and he is now the Health and Human Services Secretary, mostly because he sued the heck out of the Trump administration when he was Attorney General here in the state, making the announcement about the old monkeypox.
In light of all of these developments and the evolving circumstances on the ground, I want to make an announcement today that I will be declaring a public health emergency on monkeypox.
Oh, great.
And then he said, woo! Now, Karine Jean-Pierre was asked a question by Jake Tapper yesterday on CNN about how the administration handled the news on monkeypox.
So the thing about infectious disease, which is inherently known, as you, I'm sure you know as well, Jake, is that they tend to evolve. And that's what we saw. We met the moment when we heard about the first couple of cases, and then it evolved. It's dynamic. It changed. It's not what we're seeing right now with monkeypox. Monkeypox was here back in 2021.
So basically what this means, more money and...
Wait.
Yeah.
So monkeypox was here in 2021?
Apparently, but it's not a new disease.
So why am I hearing about it just now?
Because everybody's got COVID fever and they don't have COVID to talk about now, so they talk about the monkeypox.
Mother scratcher.
Yeah, it's not new.
This is another hoax being perpetrated on the American people. We're told it's a health emergency. It's been here for over a year.
You know what I've heard in some talking with Jennifer Van Laar from Red State and others? She was on the Inland Empire Answer yesterday. And she told me that the state of emergency, so remember LA County did it really early for COVID. The reason that they do that is not only to get funding and more control over your life that they don't ever want to give back, looking at you, Gavin Newsom. But do you know that county employees who are being asked to work no longer get to make overtime during state of emergencies?
County employees don't get to make overtime during
state employees. Any employee during a state of emergency, you don't get overtime pay because it's an emergency.
Oh, well, no wonder they love it.
They love it.
But, you know, honestly, I don't know if that fits because truth is, I'm sure these lawmakers would love to pay the government employees more money.
But they can use that money for other junk that they don't need. You know, I mean, yeah. It's just ridiculous. Ugh. Just more money, more control. And for what? Four people have monkeypox.
For Nuttin' Honey.
Nuttin' Honey, 855-785-8255. As we continue, we'll be joined by the Sage. Larry Elder is going to be
here.
Guess what?
I just saw the Sage yesterday.
Oh, good. Did he say he talked to us today?
Yeah, of course. He said he would. I said, you're going to call in tomorrow, right? He says, yes, so we shall see.
Good. We'll ask him about what he's doing at CPAC, get some scuttlebutt, and, of course, about those officers just charged again in the death of Breonna Taylor. All the details as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
I'm really offended that you think that 12-year-old girls sound as dumb as Kamala Harris.
Breaking news and expert commentary.
Would it be appropriate to compare 8-year-old girls to Kamala Harris?
No. Maybe 6.
6. Okay.
This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us. It is a Friday here on the Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And that music means it's time to welcome in our friend, our Morning Answer expert, our star of the Epic Times, and of course, the star of a new film, Uncle Tom 2, guys. It is coming. You saw the first one. The second one, I hear, even better, if that's possible. Comes out August 26th. Pre-order right now, UncleTom.com. And the producer and the sage himself,
Sage,
Larry Elder is here. Good morning.
Hey, Jen and Grant. I am in beautiful Dallas at the CPAC convention.
That's what I heard. Now, what could you possibly be doing at CPAC, Larry Elder?
I have no idea. I'm crashing the party. I had a nice little exchange with Dr. Ben Carson last night. I spoke to a group of people. Hosted by Matt Schlapp, who is the guy that puts on the CPAC convention every year here in Dallas, also in D.C. Really good time.
So they invited
I need more juice.
So I got to see Larry.
I ran into Mr. Stitchfield there, too.
That's right. We had a great time. Right. So this is what was interesting. So I see Larry. We said hi and we talked a little bit, and then I go do my thing. Larry goes does his thing. Well, I'm leaving, and all of a sudden I see Larry. He has a crowd around him. He's got cameras around him, and the only guy that had more cameras and followers like the Pied Piper. And Larry, I hope you don't get mad at me for saying this, but he did. I couldn't believe the following this guy had was Steve Bannon.
Really?
Steve Bannon was like a rock star there. Did you notice that, Larry?
No, I of course I did. I had more cameras than Imelda Marcos had shoes. I don't know what was going on. All of a sudden, people just converged on me. You know, again, without sounding arrogant, my race for governor electrified not just California, but the nation. And we were invited to come here, and the love has just been, it's been amazing, just absolutely amazing.
Now, I know you were on with our friend Dennis Prager this week. It was his birthday, big anniversary in talk radio, 40 years, which is
40 years.
Incredible.
Wow. Yeah.
And I know Dennis is a big influence on you, like he is on me, like all of us that listen to Dennis. He's amazing. But he did have a conversation. He didn't push too hard, but he did say, you know, maybe there might be something in your future. Is it by a coincidence that you're at CPAC 2 years before a presidential election, Larry? Any announcements to make here with your best friend, Jen and Grant? Come on.
So Grant, Jen's trying again with a different angle. I'm loving it.
You're so handsome, Larry. What are you?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who
okay.
wants to be? And by the way, if hypothetically you needed a campaign spokeswoman, you know where to find one.
I think press secretary Jen.
There you go. Yes, I'm on it for you.
You'd be amazing. Well, I'm giving some thought to running for something, and there's only one office, in my opinion, that's more important than governor of California, and that office is somewhere in Washington D.C. I can't be any more specific than I just was.
I like it, and I appreciate it.
Well. Just do me a favor. Please do not take Jen with you because I need her here. There's no way that you got to take her from me. I mean, I would just be absolutely devastated. Let me tell you something. If you take, I don't care.
She could multitask.
Yeah.
Look, if you steal Jen from me, I will go find another candidate and I will. No, I would never do that.
Good thing your press secretary, Larry, has some insight into Mr. Stinchfield. We'll bring him down real fast.
Okay, never mind. You can have her. Never mind. Never mind. Well, all is good. And what do you need? You need money? I'll send you money.
I would have won for president, but I was threatened by the partner of my future press secretary,
right,
not to do so. So that's why I decided not to run. Otherwise, I would have won.
It's just like Kellyanne and her husband, you know? Kellyanne Conway.
Hey, what did you make, Larry, of CPAC? Look, I love Matt. I love the organization. I love the event. I was actually surprised. I didn't feel like it was as crowded as I've normally seen it.
Actually, I met with one of the other organizers, Charlie Garreau, I believe is his last name.
Yeah.
He started putting on these things with Matt Schlatt, 40 years ago, around the same time Dennis started on radio. And he said the crowd is bigger than it was last year, and certainly much bigger than it was the year before when COVID affected everything. So he was really happy with the crowd. It just maybe didn't feel like it because of where the venue is. You couldn't really get a good understanding of watching how many people are here. But no, it's been really, really well attended.
Great.
All right, let's switch gears a bit, Larry, and talk about the DOJ. Yesterday, the Attorney General Merrick Garland announced that they are charging four current and former Louisville Metro Police Department officers involved with drafting this so-called no-knock search warrant that led to the shooting in 2020 of Breonna Taylor. The Attorney General Merrick Garland announced this yesterday. Will it ever end? It seems that these local matters are now making their way to the DOJ. Is this appropriate use of Merrick Garland's time, Larry?
You know, I don't think so. I thought that was thoroughly investigated. As far as I know, they weren't bringing any charges locally against these officers. The whole narrative that the police are engaging in systemic racism is something that this administration is obsessed with. It's a lie. I've talked about that many times. If anything, the police are more hesitant, more reluctant to pull the trigger on a black person than a white person. As far as I know, there's nothing wrong with a no-knock warrant. And furthermore, they didn't not knock. They did knock, as far as I know, when I was looking at that charge. So I think, again, it advances their narrative that blacks are engaged in systemic racism, and that's why I think they did this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really sad that they're going back to revisit this thing that mm-hmm. really, to me, has been settled. I interviewed one of the officers that was involved in this, and when you think about what happened to them there, I don't know how any person in law enforcement can say they weren't justified in what they did. And yet here we go again, and it seems to me there's no coincidence this is coming up, of course, right before the midterms.
Mm-hmm. And the lie, of course, was that she was shot as she lay asleep in her bed. That turned out wasn't true. And the guy she was with that night shot through the door. What are you supposed to do?
It's an unfortunate accident because someone ended up dead. But certainly the police had someone inside shooting at them. They didn't know the situation. It's one of these that I don't think the administration should necessarily be hanging its hat on, but that's what they're going to do because the priority of the Biden administration, the priority of the left, Larry, seems to be going after law enforcement rather than the criminal element that they could be looking at out there.
And this is why more and more people are resisting lawful orders by police officers, why more officers have been killed and injured already this time of the year than last year, because of the tremendous disrespect that we have now in our culture towards police officers. And it starts from the top. You're accusing them of engaging in systemic racism. Officers are resigning early. They're having difficulty recruiting. Who wants to work for a department that is allegedly systemically racist?
Not me.
Not you.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the problem is when you ask officers who wants to work for any department, I was talking to some cops yesterday at CPAC, and one of my buddies asked them, actually, Larry, they were sitting right behind you where we were eating lunch there, and there were four cops sitting at the table there. And they asked him, my buddy asked, I see you don't carry batons. Are you allowed to carry batons? They said, yes, we're allowed to carry batons. But none of us do, because who wants to be captured on camera using a baton? Even using a baton in a legitimate purpose. So literally the cops have disarmed themselves from a valuable self-defense tool.
And how hideous was it, that video of those little kids, two toddlers in Minneapolis, taunting officers, punching officers. They were black kids, and the two officers appeared to be black, and one of them called the officer an Oreo. I mean, who does that? This is coming directly from the parents. This is in Minneapolis, where George Floyd died in police custody. And so this is the kind of culture now. And
doesn't,
by the way, I've said this a million times, however you feel about what Derek Chauvin did, and I thought the verdict was just, there is zero evidence that whatever he did was prompted by George Floyd's race.
Right. But everything has to be.
The last guy I heard use the term Oreo, I think, was George Jefferson.
Could have been. It's just, it's so unbelievable, Larry. You've got the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, who's now sitting there saying he wants everybody who applies for jobs within the city of New York to submit a picture so that we can ensure racial diversity. I mean, it is such reverse racism. It is just unbelievable. Yeah.
Call 911. Send over a black officer. I'm about ready to be robbed. Really? I need an Asian American officer. My house is an Asian American firefighter. My house is on fire. Really?
I'm going to hire a crew of a camera crew today just to try to compete with Larry at CPAC. I'm going to have him follow
you
me
You need
around.
An entourage.
I might get some security. I'll get a couple of my buddies, have them wear earpieces and follow me around so I look real important.
Well, one woman said, you're way better looking than you are on television. How do I take that?
You just say thank you, ma'am.
You're way better looking than you are on television. Boy,
oh, no. I've seen you on television and in person. You are a handsome, handsome man, Larry Elder. Don't let anybody take you on your shine. Hey. Don't forget to check out Uncle Tom, the second edition of the movie coming out on August 26th. Pre-order it right now, UncleTom.com, UncleTom.com, and follow Larry right now. You don't want to miss a minute of anything he might be up to at Larry Elder, and also check out the website ElderForAmerica.com. Larry, have a great time in Dallas. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Talk to you guys next week, guys.
All right. God be bless. Safe. Bye-bye. There he goes as we continue. Well, it seems that the California Attorney General is upset about something going on in San Clemente, California. We'll tell you all the details. First, we check the roads and your headlines with our newsman, Larry Marino, as your Friday Morning Answer continues.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.